So, but still, what we are seeing right now is that a number of our children are getting the disease. So isn't that contradictory? On one hand side, I'm saying, don't worry too much about the children because they are really very well protected, provided they are in good health because they have their innate immunity. And then on the other hand, what we are seeing right now is that there is a number of children that are getting the disease. So is that contradictory? So here comes a very important point that it is critical to understand. And I will take my time to explain it to you in detail because this is one of the most important things to understand, to get a sense of how this pandemic is evolving and why now all of a sudden our children who were at the beginning of the pandemic completely protected, didn't even develop any signs of disease, that now all of a sudden some children start to develop disease. So how can that happen? Well, the reason why this happens is the following. When children or any person that has asymptomatic disease, so asymptomatic disease, asymptomatic infection, sorry, I should not say asymptomatic disease because that is a contradiction in its own terms. So an asymptomatic infection is you get infected by the virus, but you don't develop symptoms, or you develop maybe mild symptoms. You're not in bed, but you're not feeling well for maybe a day or so. It's not even preventing you from going to school or from doing your job, but it's very mild. So in that case, your immune system has seen the virus, but it has not really been primed. We call priming is when the immune system got really well imprinted with the pathogen and the antigen so that it will remember this encounter basically for the rest of your life. If there is only an asymptomatic infection, that contact, that encounter has been too superficial to induce this type of immunological memory. But what will happen is that nevertheless, your immune system will mount antibodies. So I'm no longer talking about innate immunity right now. I'm talking about a kind of acquired immunity. So you mount antibodies, and those antibodies are, amongst other, primarily directed against the spike protein. So, but because this encounter is very superficial, these antibodies are short-lived. They will disappear after a few weeks from your blood. Basically, there are a number of publications that describe that after 8 weeks, these antibodies are even no longer detectable. So that is one thing. Second thing, there is no memory, as I just said. And third, these antibodies have low affinity for the virus, and they are not functional. They have not the capacity of neutralizing the virus. But there is a big but here. But these antibodies can still bind to the virus. And by binding to the virus, they can, to some extent, prevent your innate antibodies from binding to the virus. So, in other words, your innate immune system is, to some extent, suppressed because the short-lived antibodies that you acquired as a result from a previous asymptomatic infection, these antibodies will compete with your innate antibodies and to some extent suppress those innate antibodies. So why is this so important? Well, this is important because during that very period where this is happening, your innate immunity is suppressed. And as I was saying, the antibodies that you acquired are short-lived and not functional. So at that very moment in time, you are vulnerable because your innate immunity is suppressed and the antibodies that you acquired are not functional. But I was saying this is a situation that normally does not last for a long time. Because after 6 or 8 weeks, these antibodies have even disappeared from your blood. So normally, for example, when the Wuhan strain was circulating, a strain which was not very infectious, that was not a problem. Why not? Well, what was the likelihood? What was the likelihood that you got infected with the Wuhan strain and that within 6 weeks thereafter, during the period where you were vulnerable, you got re-exposed to that very same Wuhan virus? That likelihood was very, very low. Why? Because the Wuhan strain was not very infectious. Now we are dealing right now with another completely different situation. We are now dealing with another pandemic, a pandemic of highly infectious variants. So the Delta variant in most countries, which is highly infectious, is the dominant strain. So highly infectious means now that the likelihood that you get reinfected over and over again with this variant is much higher than in case of the original Wuhan strain. So now, if you are sitting on some short-lived antibodies as a result from a previous asymptomatic infection, the likelihood that you now become reinfected with this highly infectious variant within 6 weeks after your previous exposure, that is to say, during the period where you're completely vulnerable, this likelihood becomes now significantly higher. So that means, is this Delta strain more virulent? Some people say, well, Delta strain is more virulent because look, our children are getting the disease. No. The Delta, there is no selection of virulent, there is no positive selection according to genomic analysis of virulence genes. So it's not like the Delta variant has now selected or has mutations that enhance, that increase the virulence of this virus. It is simply because people are re-encountering, are getting re-exposed to the virus during this period of vulnerability. And that likelihood becomes now very realistic and very high because per definition almost, the Delta variant is a highly infectious strain. And that is very, very important to understand. And then I come to my third bullet here. Why is this? Well, the highly infectious Delta variant and also the Gamma and the Alpha and the Beta variant existed already before the mass vaccination. That is true. But what did change since the mass vaccination is the following. Whereas before the mass vaccination, these strains, these variants were not dominant. It was the Wuhan strain that was dominant, but they popped up and they were isolated from time to time, but they were not dominant. Now, all of a sudden, you have the mass vaccination. And what is the mass vaccination? The mass vaccination causes, in fact, people to have antibodies, against the virus. And this causes that is what we call immune pressure. So the immune system of not only one individual, but of the whole population that get vaccinated, this immune pressure becomes higher and higher. And this immune pressure, however, is not sufficient to eliminate the virus because we know that these vaccines have not sterilizing capacity. They cannot block the transmission, but they put tremendous pressure on the virus. So now, all of a sudden, of course, the virus is encountering a very harsh environment, an environment where the immune pressure is very high, and not just in a few people, but in more and more people. That is what happens when we do mass vaccination across several different age groups. So now, all of a sudden, these variants that were sporadically found and isolated are now having a competitive advantage in comparison to the Wuhan strain. Why do they have a competitive advantage? They have a competitive advantage because they are more infectious. In other words, they can more easily overcome the immune pressure that is exerted by the population. So they have a fitness advantage. And because of this fitness advantage, they can now start to dominate the Wuhan strain, and they become more and more prevalent. So their expansion in prevalence becomes now more and more important. So that is what mass vaccination does. Mass vaccination did not generate this variants, or was not responsible for, you know, generating these variants. But what mass vaccination did is that it gave to these variants a tremendous competitive advantage. And because all of the population, of large part of the population, is involved or was involved, the virus, this Delta variant, managed to adapt to the population. That's what we call adaptation. And because mass vaccination caused dominance of the more infectious Delta variant, and because higher infection rates due to this dominance of more infectious strains is, of course, increasing the likelihood that people, after their first infection, get reinfected and re-exposed within a short time frame thereafter, during the time where they are still sitting on antibodies that to some extent outcompete their innate immunity. That is why they become vulnerable. And that is very important to understand. So there is a number of there is a dynamic going on here. And so it's not that the innate immunity is failing. The innate immunity gets outcompeted by antibodies that are worthless, because these antibodies are not functional, these short-lived antibodies, but they result from a previous asymptomatic infection. So now, luckily enough, healthy children, they have high titers of these functional innate antibodies. So their antibodies, despite this competition from the short-lived low-affinity anti-spike antibodies, despite this competition, they have still some capacity to resist this pressure from the S-specific antibodies. And that is the reason why in most cases, children will, you know, despite the situation, despite the Delta variant circulating, will either, you know, still not have any symptoms, or they may, because of this partial suppression, develop mild infection, mild disease, and sometimes even moderate disease. But nevertheless, when children are healthy, the likelihood that they are going to get severe disease, even with the circulating Delta variant, when they have no underlying diseases, is very, very remote. And that is why I was saying at the beginning of my talk, don't be afraid of, you know, of getting ill. I mean, what's the point? You are for 1 or 2 or 3 or maybe maximum 1 week in bed in the worst case. That is still normal. What is not acceptable, of course, is severe disease. So it is true that because of high infection rates caused by the Delta, children may now develop mild or sometimes even moderate disease. However, provided they're in good health and have no underlying disease, it's highly unlikely for them to develop severe disease. Of course, it can always happen, maybe 1 in 100,000. I don't know exactly, but this is not a scenario that need to be taken into account when considering the huge advantage of innate immunity. Individuals who recover from COVID-19 disease, because even if children, but not only children, but anybody, when you then still get the disease, but you recover from that disease, well, then you have lifelong immunity also towards SARS-CoV-2. So you have acquired immunity, but a type of immunity, of adaptive acquired immunity, that is way better, more functional, and covers a broader spectrum of variants than the vaccinal antibodies do. And this is not just my interpretation. This has been published a number of times in peer-reviewed journals, that naturally acquired antibodies that you obtained as a result or upon recovery from disease do a better job than the vaccinal antibodies, in a sense that they are have better functionality and that they can cover a number of different variants. So last, with regard to this slide, children that are at risk, because they do have, for some kids, children do, of course, have underlying diseases, they must receive early multi-drug treatment. I mean, there is no doubt about this. How can you, somebody whom you know is at risk, not provide with appropriate medication, which exists right now, which is well known, which is safe, etc.? I'm not going to expand on this, but people like Peter McCullough, etc., have done extensive work on this together with a number of colleagues that make it very, very clear that this is a disease that can be treated. And people who are at risk, or children, for example, who are at risk, they should receive this treatment when needed. So now what happens with innate immunity when children grow up? Can they still rely on it? Well, there is now, and this is also something which is fantastic news, but again, this is not new, it's just that this type of science got completely ignored because vaccinologists, they're not interested in innate immunity because they vaccinate, and when you vaccinate, you immediately start to induce acquired immunity. You bypass this whole chapter of innate immunity. But there is now, since many years, unambiguous evidence that innate immunity can on top be trained. So what does that mean? Well, it means that children at birth, for example, they have a lot of innate antibodies. And these innate antibodies are, so to say, naive. They can recognize several different pathogens, but they are not. They have very little or almost no specificity. So what happens is that when children, for example, get infected, their innate immune system can start to some extent to remember this infection, because especially when they get mild disease. So what does that mean? The virus can be neutralized right away by innate antibodies at the portal of entry. When that happens, it's like the innate immune system or the immune system has not even seen the virus. You had innate antibodies, the virus, you know, came into your body and it got immediately neutralized. But when that is not the case, the virus can still get into the epithelial cells. And when the innate immune response is sufficient, these cells, as I initially explained, will be killed by natural killer cells. But that is a kind of signal to the innate immune system to do better next time around. It's like the innate immune system is saying, wow, I was lucky that I had my NK cells, because otherwise the virus would have broken through my innate immunity. So the antibodies now get trained in a sense that the cells that are secreting these innate antibodies, they are now trained to produce antibodies that have a little bit higher affinity for this particular virus, so that next time around, the neutralizing antibodies can do a better job because they bind with higher affinity to the virus, and hence the likelihood that this virus will now get into cells, so that as last resort, you have to come with the NK cells to eliminate the virus-infected cells, that this will no longer happen. That is training. So upon the re-exposure to the same or even a similar pathogen, the cells got trained and they now produce protective innate antibodies that acquire memory. So they can remember the virus. So you could say, well, if that is the case, if they have become more specific and these cells, these are B cells, have now acquired memory, then it's the same like the adaptive immune system, like the acquired antibodies. No, it's not the same. It's still like in between the naive innate antibodies and the adaptive immunity, in a sense that the antibodies that got trained will still, and that is important, will still be able to recognize also other viruses, other pathogens. So they got somewhat higher affinity for the pathogen that they were challenged by. But it's not that the specificity is now so specific that they will not recognize other pathogens. So they conserve what we call their polyreactivity. It's just that they are better trained when next time around this virus gets into their body, that it can more readily be neutralized thanks to the innate trained antibodies. So thanks to their higher affinity, these trained innate antibodies will be more effective at neutralizing SARS-CoV-2 while still able to recognize a multitude of different other coronaviruses, including all the variants. So see, that is the beauty of the innate immune system. The innate immune system not only recognizes all kinds of different variants of SARS-CoV-2, but it even will recognize other coronaviruses. So thanks to the innate immune training, the unvaccinated healthy subject, of course, including children, will improve their protection from SARS-CoV-2 and also other coronaviruses. Their trained innate antibodies will better resist competition from these low affinity spike specific antibodies that were acquired upon previous infection. So remember, I was saying from the previous slide, well, there is still this threat from the Delta variant that children or anybody who got previously asymptomatic infection get now reinfected within a short period of time. Well, if your antibodies got trained, your innate antibodies got trained, they have higher affinity for the virus. So that means they will more easily and better withstand that competition from the short-lived antibodies that were acquired as a result of previous asymptomatic infection. So that is why we are gonna see that as the pandemic evolves, we are going to see that more and more children and more people who got previously asymptomatic infections and maybe mild disease are now going to be completely protected against all these kind of variants. And because this is a system that has memory, this is in fact something that will apply for the rest of their life. So this is quite revolutionary. Well, I wouldn't say news. This is something we know that this is the way innate immunity works. It's just that innate immunity does not protect you against all kinds of different viruses. But here we were dealing and we are dealing with a virus where the innate immune system can do a fantastic job. And we just picked the completely wrong approach, which is to induce acquired antibodies that by far have not the capacity that innate antibodies have.